Spot check. Written and recorded by Litra. A Magnus Archives fanfic with the pairing Martin Blackwood, Jonathan Sims. Rated mature. A remix of Due Diligence, written by Olive Two Reed and podficked by Carbon Copies. Summary. John learns that Martin has been doing some interesting things in his office after hours. There's the chair, first. It creaks. It's one of those high-end ergonomic models, with fake leather and adjustable everything. But it's a few years old now, so the edges of the arms are all scruffed up from rubbing against the desk as John turns. Every time someone sits down, the leather creaks and wheezes, and the hydraulics on the underside let out a squeaking protest. John learned to sit almost eerily still. The filing cabinets made a little clunk when they were opened, before the wheels on the drawers caught and slide in a low moan as they opened. That noise was only caught on tape if the recorders turned themselves on, and then only distantly. Once open, there are the files. Papers that seemed to whisper, even when sitting still. Carried with slow, measured steps back from the seemingly endless rows to the office, and the chair, and the desk. The old desk was sturdy, but if you leaned on it in just the right way, the back right leg would shift on the uneven floor, and protest almost wetly. The walls and light had been decorated by Gertrude, and John hadn't changed them much when he took the position. Three canvases of dull but soothing landscapes. The light was covered in a pale shade of fabric. These things, and the relatively small size of the office, tucked off the archives before the files properly began, deadened sound. The nearest office, the space where Tim and Sasha and Martin had desks, and even the break room, were down the hall and around a corner. No sound from outside the Institute could possibly make it all the way past the receptionist, down the twisting stairs, to the underground levels, and then through the pre-war maze of passages to John's office. Once the door was closed, even those faint murmurings were barred entry. The click and whir of the tapes did not echo. They were isolated, almost as if to protect all other sounds from being consumed. Each tape was 60 minutes long, exactly. There were 4 seconds of false blank tape at the beginning and end. The older tape recorders that he used were heavier than they looked. They sat, bulky in one hand, the buttons slightly depressed. There was a faint initial plastic squeak as the button was pressed before the click and the wheels started turning. A double click as he held down the play and the record buttons to begin. Except John pressed the stop button. Squeak and click. The tape had caught immediately without the 4 seconds of static. There was no way to tell how many seconds were on the reel. He took the tape out of the player, turning it over between long fingers. The plastic clicked against his short, manicured nails. There was a thin sticker across one side. One corner was peeling away from the plastic. There was no writing on the sticker. He only added the label after the statement was finished. There was no way to tell how many seconds were on the reel, beyond the fact that it was brown tape, not blue plastic. It couldn't be more than 30 seconds. The statements only rarely took up a full tape. Even so, best not to waste it. His pens rattled in the cup he had set aside for them, plastic light against wood as he found a pencil and retrieved it. A slow clicking rewound the tape one rotation, 1 second at a time. He turned for far longer than the few seconds he had been recording. The 4 seconds worth of plain clear blue tape spooled out to the end. A slide, a light thump, and a snap click had the tape back in the player. John set the player down in the square center of the desk. It sat there, unassuming and guilty all at once. It did not start recording. Those recorders that turned themselves on tended to look older, scuffed and dusty, but that wasn't a rule. John steepled his hands in front of him. There were no notes to go with the player. The tape did not have the aged quality of Gertrude's tapes. If it was a message, it could be from anyone, friend or foe. They were all on edge, and he was no exception. John leaned back in his chair. The leather squeaked and the plastic joints groaned as they settled into place. The fabric of his coat bunched up, then swished free as he adjusted his position. Silence settled over the small space, interrupted by the solitary click of the play button.
I don't know, Martin. Have you earned that? Have you done your due diligence?
The voice was Martin's, but it's not his speaking voice. It's distorted by the tape, but that's not all. It's lower, harsher than the endlessly light tones Martin used, always hoping to please. That alone would be enough to keep him listening. The words are another thing. Martin speaking in the third person, the questions he's asking, the breathy gasps hidden under the words, nearly smothered by lips and teeth and possibly a hand or sleeve. Other background sounds are nearly non-existent. There's the same faint reverberation as the tapes John records. The ones he's recorded here in this office, in this very seat. John shifted, clothes rustled, leather creaked, plastic groaned. The tape in front of him was still playing. Martin's voice went on.
You know the rules, Martin. You don't get to come until I'm satisfied that you've done your best.
John leaned forward, summoning another cascade of sounds from his chair, followed by the finite click of the stop button. Silence filled up the space again. That was not what he had expected. He should rewind the tape, record the statement sitting to his right, and get on with his day. What Martin did in his off time was his own business, though perhaps a citation about the proper use of equipment was in order. The tape sat innocently on the desk, casting a looming, jagged shadow. His own instrument turned to a sordid purpose. His system, his domain, used for... John had never been interested in sex for its own sake, but he wasn't sex-averse. The tapes were his, the way Martin had talked. It wasn't about corruption, or defiance, or rebellion. No, this wasn't a child wanking while their parents were away. This was an offering. Something in John liked the idea of that. He wanted to see. He wanted to have Martin there under his hand, wanted to take what was offered and drink it in. Silence. The faint ticking of a distant clock. Whispers of conversation from down the hall. Did one of those voices belong to Martin? Was he offering someone tea? Saying good morning? Acting like he wasn't a willing sacrifice to John's will, so eager to do his best, to be seen and pushed and praised. John's instinct was to curl his lip, sneer, and send Martin back to his corner. All this time, and Martin had never earned his praise. But that was the point, wasn't it? Martin earning it? John picked up the tape, his eyes drooping, almost shut. He turned the tape player over in his hands, the familiar shape of it. Martin had held this tape player. He had sat in this seat to record. He'd likely sat in this seat when listening to it. What had he thought about? John's fingers played over the buttons. They pressed. There was a click. The tape whirred for several seconds before clicking to a stop back at the start. The tape player started, and John wasn't sure if it was him who had pressed play or if it had started on its own. Martin's lowered voice slipped into the room to surround him.
Have you done your...
Familiar words, but in a striking new context.
Due diligence?
John could see himself grabbing Martin's hair, wrapping a hand around his cock and balls,
or even his neck, until I'm satisfied,
telling him he hadn't earned it. Not yet. The words went on for 9 minutes before Martin seemed to run out of things to say, and the tape resorted to empty static and the clicking of the player. 9 minutes. Had Martin recorded over the rest, or did it only take that long for him to get off? If the latter, John was a bit disappointed. 9 minutes wasn't nearly long enough for him to earn what he so clearly wanted. John licked his lips. His fingers traced the buttons, rewinding the tape. It reached the start and clicked off, waiting for his choice. Recording over it was the smart move. It was the simplest action, and the one that would maintain the status quo. Martin would never learn that John knew, and both of them could continue with their lives. If he kept the tape, he'd have to do something about it. He'd have to call Martin in and reprimand him. Write him up for wasting resources, for not being professional, for not doing his best. Then Martin would stand there and blush, and agree, and apologize. He'd promise to stop, to do better. Then he'd probably go and wank in that closet of a room he'd claimed. Getting off on John's voice, on getting caught, on his punishment. He wouldn't really learn. Not that way. Maybe if John took a personal hand in things, kept a closer eye on him, maybe then he'd earn it. Smarter to erase the tape, but... John slid the tape out of the player. His desk drawer moaned low as it opened. There were papers there, spare pens, spare tapes. John pulled out one of the empty cases and slid Martin's tape into it. The plastic squeaked as he snapped it shut. He briefly considered what to label the tape, but he'd never been one for creative euphemisms. In the end, his pen scratched a capital M on the label and left it at that. He'd keep the tape, for now. He'd keep an eye on Martin. If things got out of hand, then he could bring Martin back in line. If not, well, nothing lasted forever. Jane Prentice could burst in and eat them all tomorrow. For the time being, John had a statement to read. As it happened, Jane Prentice didn't attack the next day. Instead, John was faced with Martin in nothing but his underthings. It was enough for him to make his choice. The end.